the last time you're going to be introduced to a speaker in a few weeks. We are extremely grateful and thrilled to have Bolelo with us to talk about the design capital. Could you just tell you a bit about Bolelo very quickly? Bolelo Makalima Ngawana is a qualified town planner with extensive experience in managing and coordinating public-private partnerships. She's a qualified town planner with extensive experience in managing and coordinating public-private partnerships. An urban revivalist at heart, she has spent the last 8 years with the Cape Partnership managing, developing and promoting Cape Town systems as an economically thriving, creative and valued public and private space in which to live. She was one of the key role players in developing Cape Town Central City Development Strategy in 2008, which puts forward a shared vision to guide future developments in Cape Town until 2018. And as managing director of the partnership, she is a key driver of the strategy. She has also been central in Cape Town's World Design Capital, given in Cape Town's World Design Capital for 2014.
Sitting around the fire, people telling stories and sharing stories. And so would experience periodically this extreme excitement when migrant workers come back from cities. And around the fire as children would listen to these stories being told from the perspective of a person who's relocated to a space which is completely different and foreign from where they come from. And from this I got my love of cities and this fascination about what a city is, the sense that a city is the personality, what it means for the people who live there. I then made the decision that when I wanted to work, I needed to work in a space where I don't only live in a city, but I contribute in making a city work for its citizens. And so I'm very happy to be here today to share this journey that we took in terms of building for Cape Town as well as capital. But my input is going to be really focused on what this destination might mean for Cape Town, and also on the basis of this building back to the work of the Cape Town Partnership. And be able to share with you what, as a Cape Town Partnership, we are seeing this opportunity as in terms of our work. I'm not quite sure how many in this room actually understand Cape Town Partnership. I made assumptions that people do understand it. And if there's a need, I can explain what Cape Town Partnership is during the question and answer session. I've kind of structured this session in terms of 40 minutes of just people going through my presentation. And spending about 15 minutes to 20 minutes with you just having an interaction. I hope you really like doing it in that way. And so, as you all know, you've seen the newspapers, you've heard the media coverage. Cape Town has been designated World Design Capital. It has been a fantastic honor to be able to get to this stage as Cape Town. It is, in fact, a bid that is particularly important because it's going to be implemented or executed in 2014. Let's not forget what 2014 means in the sight of South Africans. 2014 is the year when we celebrate, in fact, 20 years of democracy in this country. It allows us an opportunity to be able to stand there and look at what we've achieved in these last 2 years. Not only that, but also to look forward and see what we can do to be able to push the cause further and enhance and fast track what needs to be achieved in this business next 2 years. Now, from a perspective of being a city manager or running a city or being a citizen within a city, World Design Capital is in fact about cities. It is awarded to a city that uses design to improve the life and the quality of life, of the city's citizens. It is less about design as a process that produces high quality and high-end stuff. It's more about transformative design and how cities use design to transform themselves in such a way that they actually become spaces that are cohesively owned and also contribute in a positive way to the quality of life of their citizens. I mean, Peter Tonin, who headed up World Design Capital in Helsinki, their red came to an end last year in December. I want to just quote him so that I can just give a chance for you, so they give you a taste of what this is about from his perspective, coming from a developed part of the world. He says that World Design Capital must be seen as part of a city's development strategy. It has the ability to speed up and boost what had to happen anyway. It doesn't come in and create new programs. It takes programs that the city is already implementing and showcases those programs on a world stage. We can come back to this point if we need more clarity on it. So the question is, what needs it to happen in Cape Town? I just want, before I get to that, answer that question, which I will do towards the end of my presentation, I just want to talk about cities in general. There is no question that the reality is that there is a growth and a fast pace in terms of urbanization that is experienced globally. It is in fact a trend that clearly indicates that populations are moving from rural areas into cities. In 2007, it showed that the world all over has reached the tip of having 50% of the world's population is located in urban areas. At the World City Summit, which I was fortunate to attend in Singapore last year. The dialogue was dominated by the challenge facing megacities. And megacities are cities that have a population of over 10 million. I'm talking about cities such as Tokyo, 34.3 million, Seoul, which was World Design Capital 2010, has a population of 25.1 million. Indian cities like Mumbai and Delhi, which have a population of over 20 million each. Clearly, you can see how much challenges are being faced by those that are actually managing and also contributing designing cities. The United Nations estimated that 7 out of 10 of us in the world will be living in cities by 2050. In Africa, urbanization is also happening quite fast. One has to just look at a city like Lagos. In the 1950s, Lagos had about 300,000 citizens living there. In 2007, they had 50 million. By the anticipation of the Nigerian government, they are projecting that the growth will come in around about 2015, they'll have about 25 million people living in Lagos. It just indicates just how fast-paced this urbanization is happening. In the last census, which is the new one, that is just in Regis, is already showing that South African populations are in fact moving towards cities. The combination of Joburg, Cape Town, and Ekurhuleni and Gauteng, it qualifies to a population, a total population of about 30% of the South African population living in those cities, with more and more people moving into cities. Now you can understand why these cities are under pressure. Understand also that South African cities were in fact designed for separation under apartheid. Buffer zones between communities, long travel distances for some communities, a completely unmanageable and unsustainable model. In 1994, cities had to redesign themselves for integration, try and bring places closer to people, closer to places of work. Create integration between communities is not an easy thing. Even administratively, it's not an easy thing. So you can understand why design then becomes important. That's a picture of a public space in Langa. It just goes to show, I mean, Langa is literally less than 12 kilometers from the central city of Cape Town. But being in Langa and being in the central city of Cape Town is chalk and cheese. It's a very different kind of feel, it's a very different kind of environment. And yet the growth of the city of Cape Town has to be going towards Langa, because the opportunities for growth are there. Living in a CBD that has a very peculiar space which is squeezed between the land and the mountain and the sea, we can't go up because we don't want a CBD that is quite high and tall in buildings. So we need to be able to stretch the CBD to places where it can be accommodated. You can already see what's happening around Paddington Island, the possibility of the exciting opportunity around the old tower station, power station site, which is right at the edge of, at the entrance of land, if you like. And so I just wanted to show this juxtaposition between two spaces quite linked and in fact in a symbiotic relationship with each other, because town and township are in fact in a symbiotic relationship with each other. So there's a need to find a way of getting integration happening, and also a sense of continuum, rather than sprawling and making sure that it grows further and further from the central point. Okay, so this obviously is a massive challenge. It can never be carried out by one institution, whether it's public institutions or private institutions. What is needed really is a collective collaboration between public, private, civic society, NGOs, etc., that we all find a way of having a similar vision about our city and contribute in terms of making sure that it becomes an integrated and socially cohesive space. I was saying there, I have Professor Ndebona Mbedo, who is the board chair of the Cape Town Partnership, who is the ex vice chancellor of the city, a storyteller of note in his own right. He is a true believer in the power of collaboration. I just want to quote him here. He mentions that what is needed really is harnessing the collective imagination of people who want to see the city work by bringing people from collective, from very diverse backgrounds and different experiences together and helping them and define common ground around the community vision for Cape Town. That is the solution. This, in fact, on this one is already a process design. It's not only going to be about consulting citizens, about citizens' participation fully in their own in the development of their city, having a voice in the development of their city, not designing for them rather than designing with them. Okay, collaboration has also been a very key part in the driving of the B for Wealth Design Capital. If we had not collaborated as big drivers, the Cape Townians, I'm very sure that we would not have been able to create the kind of noise that made those that were selecting the winner or the designated city for Wealth Design Capital 2014 listen. Because we were competing with like 56 other cities all over the world that had shown interest. In addition to that, we were shortlisted together with Dublin and Dubai. Cities of note who have more financial muscles than us, most potentially used stable environment than we do in terms of the African continent. And so, how could we then punch above the weight as Cape Town, make sure that there is someone who's able to listen? The best way we could do that was to activate citizens. And so the noise, the world of noise is heard about finding your yellow, which was the color of our beach, getting Cape Townians activated, and presenting to each other and to those that be via the web, via social media, what this city means to them, actually helped us a lot. Towards the end, because the announcement was made in October, towards the end, if you went to Google and type World Design Capital 2014, Cape Town was at the top of that list, which is what was needed. So the power of voices, of citizens' voices in this kind of events or this kind of things is very important to note. Education partnership, just coming back to the work that we do, we have a very strong belief, which is in fact shared by many people and those that actually live in cities or work in cities or do this kind of work, that cities are primarily about people. I really believe that cities have got personality. I mean, there are cities that are warm and welcoming that need to feel completely integrated and connected to its own citizens. These are cities that makes you want to go back. This is Cape Town during World Design Capital, during FIFA World Cup, when people really booked themselves to go to Job and go together, when they heard what is happening in Cape Town, came to Cape Town without any tickets to just walk that fellow. Because in that public space called the fellow, citizens were able to showcase their pride in their own city, talk to each other and connect with each other. And that is an important part of the city. So the public space or the public realm becomes quite a critical part of any city. If you have to think about cities that are aloof and sometimes alienating from my people, kind of like Dubai, where there's big buildings, there's very, very, very strong and kind of complex type of spaces in between buildings. You hardly ever see anyone walking because citizens have now been delegated to internal public places to be able to interact with each other. You go there, you feel that you are in fact in a space that is quite foreign to you, especially if you come from a city which is basically around open spaces, public spaces, and interaction with citizens. And so this becomes a very key part of what we do as a Cape Town partnership, because when it formed in 1999, it was on the basis of Cape Townians had to turn their backs towards the central city. Having gone into malls and having gone to other places in the periphery, which made it difficult for Cape Townians to find a space where they can interact with each other. And so we started by putting the bases in place, making sure that the city is clean, this is not the CBD, making sure that the CBD is safe, and then talking about what is happening in the CBD and introducing it back to Cape Townians. And so, from our perspective, really, people are the soul of the city. At on stage, you see an example of what happened when the space is well designed but it's not populated. That's Grand Parade, one of the oldest public spaces in South Africa, a space where Mandela made his very first speech as a president, the free man in this country, has a long history and heritage in terms of the Cape Town society. It is linked to districts, to markets, etc., etc. It goes back to slave history. However, it's a space for a long time in recent memory, which has been nothing more than a parking lot, with periodic activations of markets now and again. You see that there at the bottom, the Grand Parade, which was revamped, which spent a lot of money. making sure that it's a space that is of high quality, specifically because, again, World Cup was used to advance that cause of making sure that grand parades are regenerated. You can easily see the personality of grand parade when it's not populated with people, and the personality of grand parade when they are people enjoying themselves and interacting with each other on the stage. What we do need in Cape Town is more spaces that do that for our citizens. Spaces that don't only look at insular communities, but make sure that communities are integrated and are invited to interact with each other. That's what design in this world is a capital opportunity offers us in terms of the work that we do as a Cape Town partnership. I just want to talk about another aspect of cities. A lot of cities these days are actually wanting to position themselves as livable cities. Globally, you hear dialogue of what are the top 10 livable cities in the world. One of the publishers, if you read one of the publishers there, this list every year. And it is very important because that index is based on the quality of life of citizens in the city that makes those cities be able to be seen as livable. It looks at things like poverty, it looks at things of opportunity, the ability for citizens to be able to have a voice, etc. It's very imperative, for example, for us, now that we've now been designated as World Design Capital, to see Cape Town coming up on that list. Helsinki has already been on that list. It was World Design Capital 2012. Seoul has been on that list. It was World Design Capital 2010. And so there's potential for Cape Town to be one of the first cities in Africa to be up on that list. In my view, it's not important for the city to only be livable. It also has to be lovable. Because livable cities sometimes are not lovable. And because it goes back to how these citizens are able to interact with each other. And if there is a space that are created for this interaction to happen, naturally and organically in public spaces. It should be spaces where you don't have to pay to have access, but a space that you feel quite comfortable to enjoy with or without having the ability to pay for being there. And so it goes back to then, why did the Cape Town Partnership really feel that it is important for us to be part of driving this piece of World Design Capital? It's because, as I've already said, that cities are really about design. How you design your public space, how you design the ability of citizens to be able to move through into and be invited back into the city is important. It is particularly important in South African cities where integration is sometimes only possible through infrastructure such as the transportation infrastructure. Because by being able to design this access to and from the CBD, you are in fact improving the quality of life of citizens. I live in Pinelands. I work up in Pinelands. I'm able to be at my desk within 30 minutes if traffic is not too bad. Some of my colleagues live as far as CBP and etc. They wake up and they're still 2 hours later, are not at work. And that is completely unsustainable. And most unfortunately, these those that can afford less. They spend these long hours commuting to and from work. There is a study that shows that South Africans spend a lot of money just commuting, getting to make money. They spend so much of their salary doing that. And so it's important to have a transportation network that in fact minimizes or reduces that commuting time for most people. It's also very important for me to leave my car and be able to get into a network that gets me to work without me driving there. Because actually, in the future, we won't be able to afford this. In fact, parking is already so expensive, especially someone who works in town. Already that shows that there is a need to have a stronger public transportation network that connects the city, but also that makes life a little bit easy for citizens. And therefore, by doing that, be able to contribute to a better quality of life of citizens. I've already mentioned that this, we live in a city, we always tell the city. The story of Cape Town is two cities, which in fact, in my view, we should stop doing. We should be talking about Cape Town as one city with different experiences and how we try to minimize to make sure that there is similarity as much as possible in terms of experiences. So, in terms of, if you can see there on the other side, you will literally see how it's difficult to integrate an apartheid city, which has been designed to have these buffer zones, which in fact, in those buffer zones, you find these. power lines and railway lines and roads, which makes it difficult to ever be able to use to integrate cities easily using a special especially divided cities like that easily. So we are hoping that World Design Capital will then be able to allow the citizens of Cape Town and the public sector and the public sector, say in the last 20 years, what has been done to be able to integrate this city? What else can be done? What else needs to be done in order to be able to do this? More importantly, what are the new creative and innovative ways of doing this? Because obviously the system that we have now are really showing that there are still gaps in being able to do that. Cost effective in terms of money, but also environmentally, but also in terms of life of citizens. We work in the CBD and people ask why we're focusing so much on the CBD. I just want to give you an example. If you go to Durban and you experience the CBD of Durban, do you then feel that the city of Durban has a heart? Or if you go to East London, I mean, I come from East London, I've lived in Durban for 10 years before I moved to Cape Town. I know these cities well. If you go to East London, you can still already see that there is a sense of decay that's coming through because people are moving away from the CBD into homes. Which then explains why it's so important for the CBD to exist, because the CBD is the heart of the city. And the CBD is as connected to what happens outside the CBD as it is important for it to focus in terms of what happens in the CBD. Without the CBD, where there is no center within the city, the metro is dispersed, you either go to Cavendish or the center of the city or to Cape Town, you don't have a space where you can actually go there as a citizen to be able to experience other citizens who are living other parts of the metro. Now, when we started in 1999, there were different experience in town. You could literally tell what the students would get below Hardy Street, above St. George's Mall, in the foreshore, in Bray Street. And when we started with the basics, get it clean, get it safe, talk about it. The next thing for the revolution really, apart from the revolution of the construction industry when buildings were going up, was to get the shopping, the retail to be located at the bottom of these buildings. Because by doing that, there's a sense of safety that comes through because you can't be going to a space that is already populated anyway, or passing a space that is already populated. But more importantly, coffee shops. There was a time when we used to count every single coffee shop that comes into town. We still have 100. And these coffee shops are important because coffee is very affordable. It allows for these coffee shops to spill out into the pavements, and therefore people watching becomes a spot that everyone enjoys. So suddenly you see life emerging in town because people go to coffee shop, they go with their laptops or iPads, they sit there and do well. They don't have to pay a lot of money to be there. You pass a coffee shop, you see life at that. So we've had this happening and we were very overjoyed to see it happening. Right now we feel that there is a retail revolution that is coming to town. Already this street is indicating that there is a retail revolution that is creeping in, which we are strongly supporting as Cape Town Partnership. Because we want to be seen, we want the CBD to be seen as more than a mall. But at the same time, we must have the kind of predictability and consistency of experience that you will get in a mall. You must find parking. You must find a diversity of retail there. You must also have to be able to do your groceries without having to carry them over the road to get your parking. So it's important that we have this kind of similarity of experience, but at the same time, have something extra. Have a very unique type of retail located there, have a very unique type of shop that's located there that attracts people not to go into malls but to go into that space. So we really believe that a healthy city needs a healthy CBD, which becomes the healthy heart of a city. Of course, I've mentioned already how important people are, and without belaboring the point too much, it is important, I mean, when we were starting with the basics of Cape Town Partnership. But I think in about 5 years, we realized that the basics were in place and were in place, and they needed to continue to be in place, hence our relationship with the City Improvement District, which is basically a symbiotic relationship where they do urban management and we do urban regeneration. But more importantly, we need to step and say, what will Cape Town CBD and the central city of Cape Town, which is more bigger than the CBD, look like in 20 years? And to do that, we have to consult citizens of Cape Town, those that visit us, etc., etc. And we came up together with the City of Cape Town with the City Development Strategy. And a key tenet of the City Development Strategy is being able to ensure that through the activation of public spaces, we are able to enhance the human fabric of society in terms of Cape Town as a whole. Which basically means that no matter which side of the mountain you come from, you must have a reason to be in the city. You must feel that the city serves you as a citizen. And thirdly, you must also feel that you are connected to other citizens. And so I can't emphasize that point enough, because it really now talks to what is Cape Town Financial going to be doing now from 2013 to 2015. It also, in the middle of that period, there is World Design Capital. So in other words, how do we bring the soul back into Cape Town? How do we stop the debate and the dialogue being about how Cape Town is racist, Cape Town is exclusive, Cape Town is integrated, and say to Cape Town, tell us your stories, that tell whoever else is listening that Cape Town is in fact moving towards social cohesion and integration. Tell us your stories about your life in Cape Town. Get other citizens not only to listen to you, but also be able to listen to them. Because it's through the storytelling methodology or that where we can actually find each other. And it's quite important to emphasize that point. So how do we do this Cape Town partnership? We publish every month a publication called City Views. It is a publication that's dedicated to telling citizens what we're doing in Cape Town partnership and see. We probably publish it together with City Improvement District. It has moved now to a publication where we tell Cape Town, we exhibit through that publication how Cape Townians themselves see Cape Town and the Central City. We tell stories of Cape Townians to other Cape Townians. And by doing that, we are moving from a psyche of being separated from each other to a psyche of being integrated to each other. I just want to show quickly snippets of those that have been profiled in the interviews. We have Mdunno, who talks about the CBD and experiencing from her perspective. And you can see what she feels there. There's a sense of pride, there's a sense of feeling that I'm in a space that not only helps me in terms of my career, but it's a space that I can put myself back into and invest in it personally, because it actually does work for me. We also interviewed, this is just a few of them, Hanel Rupert, who also from her perspective sees Cape Town as a space that blows her away. It's a basic city center and it has become a fashion hub of Africa from her perspective. And now, if I hadn't shown you this story, you would still leave this room with a perspective of what you think is the central city. In fact, Cape Townians, I think most of them, we know this for a fact, up until the 2010 FIFA World Cup, had not even been to CBD in decades. Because in their mental space, they still see CBD as a space where you can't find parking. It's very, you know, it's not secure enough. It's not child-friendly. Yes, these things sometimes do happen. But how do we then get you to be able to see from a different perspective? It's true storytelling. That's just another example of someone else who compares the CBD to, you know, his experience in Soho, and he feels that he... And those stories make these young people, as well as older people I could have shown, older people up on that street which we have spoken to, it tells us that they are reinvesting personally into the CBD, which is what we want. We want to attract the kind of talent that lives in this city. We have major universities, which are really quite renowned worldwide, but we produce talent that leaves and goes to Joburg because maybe Cape Town is not a space where you can start your coming. It goes to other places. What we need is to be able to showcase the city in a way that talent is attracted to and retained within the city. We want to move away from Cape Town being seen as a laid-back city, you know, with beaches and penguins and mountains and this and that. It is a working city, it's a vibrant city. It advances not only your quality of life, but it should also advance your career. That is what is important. And so, our strategy then to use the World Design Capital, opportunity is to be able to activate public spaces. We have many in town, and I'm sure no matter which part of Cape Town you're coming from, we can think of these public spaces around you that sometimes are not occupied. And so we want to use that as a socially cohesive strategy to bring citizens together. Just an example of some of these public spaces, just before I get there. Last year, we hosted Tim Tompkins, who comes from, who's the manager of Times Square Alliance. Their life really is about managing Times Square. Now, I don't know if you've been to New York, you'll understand the energy of Times Square. You either hate it or you love it. But one thing sure you have the experience to actually understand what goes on there. They've done amazing things with Times Square that makes Times Square become the heart of New York, if you like, even though that is a very contested statement. And they have principles that they've put in place that we can learn from. And the reason we brought it here is because sometimes it's important to get these lessons coming from other spaces so that we can, so from other parts of the world, so that we can learn. I mean, there are key principles as well. Being able to make sure that our Times Square is continuously dynamic. One thing that was quite astounding for me to hear him say was that it was the question, how, if you can find tranquility on top of a mountain, why can't you find the same tranquility in Times Square? And so they started a yoga session in Times Square. Started with three people doing yoga, the cameraman and everyone else jumping around them. Last year, they had 12,000 people down in Times Square doing yoga. Now you can imagine this tranquil space being created by this energy that comes from the yoga and these big billboards all around them. It's a kind of juxtaposition of experiences, but it works. Because people actually buy into it, they feel committed to it, and they feel that they own that experience themselves. And you need to have distinctive spaces. People go to spaces for a reason. That's why sometimes it's really very important that the consultative process for the design of public spaces should start with the people first. Because they know best how that space can really enhance their own quality of life. We make these mistakes that people who actually designers in terms of town planners and urban planners and sector urban designers to design spaces for people, not with people, because we think we know what they want. As a result, beautiful space. And I can show you some of those here, we have them in town, no people. And it's difficult to recognize one of them. I can also tell you an example from our perspective. When we started in 2008, we wanted to take cars up Church Square. There's about 50 cars that were parked there. Church Square is a very important space in Cape Town. It's where they still sort of slave three. There's a huge amount of heritage and history that's there. So it was untenable it to be a space for cars. And so we, after a lot of conversation, getting money from Old Mutual, getting money from the city, we took the cars off. And we upgraded the space, put a little bit of trees in there, tried memorialization in terms of slaves and memorials that are there. It is empty. And the question is, what did we do wrong? We didn't do that with Ketonians. We did it because there was this old groundswell of emotion that says, this should be a respectable space. But respect doesn't come, it's not assigned. It comes because people feel it. And apart from the fact that design, in terms of design, it's really quite bad. I mean, we have it on our own, but I mean, there's just no shade there. It's in the middle of these big buildings, and life is just quite dark. When we started, we had a video cafe, we had a bakery around the corner that was opening. But a sense of something that was going to happen, but the revolution never came. Because Ketonians simply see it as a way to parliament, or as a way to pass going somewhere else. We even spent money doing a Kumaraji session where we did a music concert in Church Square and another one in the township, and trying to make sure that these two spaces combine and interact, and it just didn't happen. And so we have to learn from this experience. So in these next 3 years, we really want to be able to find a way of activating public spaces in such a way that Ketonians themselves take the public space over and make it work. Another good example would be when it's, if you have experience switching all of the lights in town, Ketonians, they come with little kids. They're still standing up there on that grand parade at 12 o'clock at night. You don't even know how they're going to go home, but they've chosen to be there. It's not even about the advent, it's just something that they do. Now, why can't we be able to pull in that passion throughout the year? Why does it have to be at the end of the year? 100,000 people or more in the Grand Parade, in Gallen Street, going there to be able to experience the switching on of the lights. They could literally decide that they would come better up from, you know, from December to January. They don't have to be there in, at that time, in that day. But they made that investment because it means something to them. It's that kind of meaning that we need to find in terms of our public spaces. I'm trying to watch my time, sorry. I may have to move a little bit fast. I've mentioned Grand Parade is history, and he said that even though 38 odd million was spent, they're still not as activated as it needs to be. The conversation we're having with the city about how to activate it going forward. Grand Market Square, another great space. You go there, what you find, you offer the Jehovah's Witness thing on the other side, and drugs on the other side, and in between, there's all this stuff that comes from wherever, which is not even Kryptonian products. We need to be able to change that experience. Because if you're a tourist, of course, you go there, you see all these products and you think I'm in Africa. But if you're a Cape Town, you don't go there to buy that. So we need to be able to find a way of making it more of a destination in itself. Same thing, I've mentioned Church Square already. I just want to show you a video of some of the activations that have been done in public spaces. This is Infecting the City. It's a festival that happens freely in public spaces. It's a yearly festival, national is in March. Of course, if we had a way, I'm sure from this crowd here, there might be suggestions. We would like to see this happening not only once a year, but continuously throughout the year. It's about 60 minutes, so it's not 60 seconds. What's the volume? Okay, in terms of time, I'm going to have to move on. And so, I mean, if I can just manage just now on towards my end of my presentation, what the wealth and capital opportunity presents for us is to be able to design solutions for the central city. We have a central city or a CBD, if you like, that stops at 5 o'clock, everybody leaves home, leaves for home, and is empty, except for certain pockets of the CBD, Long Street being one of them. And we also have a CBD that is really getting very congested in the morning as people are trying to get to places of work. And so designing a CBD that takes over, almost on a 24-hour basis, becomes important. Our key call for these next 3 years, in fact, this next 2 years, is for retailers in town to open at least 3 more hours so that visitors to town do not have to leave and rush home. There must be something that happens in that additional 3 hours. We want to be able to slowly try and turn this trend, because if we don't, the sustainability of the city becomes quite a big issue and a challenge. I've mentioned this, I mean, there is a picture of another activation. This is the moonlight cycling that happens in starts in Greenpoint, it ends in town. We want to see more of these activities. These are cities that have basically decided that they want to be able to do something like that. They have not waited for a permit from somebody. They've just simply taken that space in town. I'm not saying you should go out and take spaces, but to try and find ways of activating without waiting for someone to tell you what needs to be done there. A very simple way of turning a CBD like ours into a 24-hour city is just add people. People living closer to town, people being able to work almost on a 24-hour basis in town, so we welcome the call centers that keep opening up in our spaces. We want the kind of experience that allows people to go there to have a dinner experience. We will never have a cinema in town. I think I can say that's never going to happen, a movie cinema in town. But we have theaters in town. So when we tell the theater, we basically to turn the city inside out. Get us here to be outside. During lunchtime, you see ballet being acted out in play in public spaces. That tells what's happening in Aske. Or you are able to interact with dancers at Cape Town Station that invite you to be able to see them on stage. Because we come also from a society where theater sometimes is not something that's easy for people to understand. People just want to get in and move and go home. We're not going to be able to get that. We've got, so we have a conversation with Aske to see how we can then be able to activate these spaces, so that we can have more people in town. We also want people to be there, that you know, universal access is a key. People should be able to have, to, you know, come to town with their babies and not find that they're struggling to get through. So this talks to the power of program. I've already mentioned the stakes with Mary in Church Square. So we want to be able to choose the kind of programming in activating public spaces that talks to Cape Townians and that designed with Cape Townians. Just an example, last year our page Cape Town program was involving parklets. This is basically taking the space and being able to activate it. And it works almost like you think it's a pilot, it's temporary. But actually some of them have become, have had a longer life. They are not permanent yet, but they have had a longer life. It also shows what is possible without a lot of resources being spent. This is another activation in East City, the fringe area. You just basically create a public space that it becomes an open gallery, so that people can see themselves up there and be able to interact and understand the space and not see these left islands with very wide and blank walls, which makes people very uncomfortable. Another one, which is again in the fringe, on the other side is an alley, very dark alley, which is really quite soulless. A couple of people went there and did yoga. We also commissioned work from an art from Hitnesh to just do a very simple structure there that allows people to see that something is happening and education is possible. I have to tell you, you can't do this if you don't have urban management in place. You have to manage the space well and then activate it. It doesn't work the other way around. What about time? Lesson from 2010 is that Cape Town, I mean, if you just think from your own perspective, wherever Cape Townians themselves, they're able to put aside their differences and just enjoy the space, the public space with each other and their visitors. This is why the Fairwalk was so successful. The sense of civic pride, which you saw for a month all over South Africa, was seems to have dissipated. You want that to come back. You want to find ways of making that become more of a long-term thing for Cape Townians. We want to have, through this World Vision Capital opportunity, a livable city legacy that really talks to the quality of life of Cape Townians. This is our big book we prepared up front. The very first thing was to put the people first. And so, as you open the big book, if you haven't seen it, you'll find quotes that come directly from Cape Townians, young and old, saying their own words why this city is important for Cape Town and why the judges should be choosing Cape Town as World Vision Capital. The bid itself is very themed around live, design, transform life. The very first sentence says we live in an integrated city. And therefore, we want the city of the future, the Cape Town of the future, to be an integrated city. We showcased that we spaces like PUU, based in Khayelitsha, used to be where you find dead bodies, and it's a marsh, a very, very horrible space to be in. It's now dialysis that become the heart of the community, which really works for community. It's designed with the community by the PUU unit. It's also has increased safety, apparently, but more importantly for me is that actually there is a space in Khayelitsha where all the people in Khayelitsha can be safe and comfortable, and now you can see the kids they play. We've showcased well-designed spaces like Greenpoint Lake and Park. So what is the connection between Greenpoint Lake and Park and the PUU? How can we make sure that there is an integration in terms of experience and in terms of shared target markets in terms of those two spaces? That's what we need to be talking about in this next coming months. That's another place that we're working with. We're working very closely with the Langa community to identify spaces in Langa that we can make livable. and activate as part of this framework. Must be a destination in itself, not a state that you go through to go somewhere else. That's something that we want to do. It's also a peace space because it's already in the psyche of Cape Townians. We've got spaces that most of you probably don't know about, Jetty Square and Pier Place, well-designed, fantastic spaces, empty as anything. So what do we do? And again, I would ask you to give us suggestions. How do we bring back soul into spaces like that? Green Market Square, I've already mentioned. Again, this is my last slide. I just want to agree, we now have world design capital in our hands. We have to execute it. We have the world that's going to complicate in our spaces. We want them to see the soul of Cape Town. Give us ideas as a Cape Town partnership, how we can then make sure that the soul of Cape Town is exhibited. We come up with an email address. It's called CapeTownSoul@CapeTownPartnership.co.za. Send us your ideas. We will be able to develop those ideas with you. We'll be able to find a way of making sure that design is imperative and at the forefront of making sure that those ideas are executed. Thank you very much.